Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, 18 to 24. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way: when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet: "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke from the dream, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took his wife. All right. So has anybody here ever watched The Muppets and CeeLo Green? I don't know if he was from Gnarls Barkley. But there's a great song. It's a Christmas song that I want to play for us today, just to get us going a little bit. Hold on a sec. Sorry. I had it open, and now it's closed. I'm just going to check my email while I'm here. I'm just kidding. I had to turn down the volume. That's why.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce to you Green.
Get into it.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
What do you want for Christmas, CeeLo?
For Christmas? All I need is love.
So what he's saying is, all I need is love. And he's saying it in the words, he says, ladies, Bentleys, watches, party, me, a 60-inch in every room, but all I want to see is you. Got the cash to take vacations to the beach in every nation. I don't want to be a Scrooge, and I'm not going without you. Santa don't know what to get me. I just want to see my baby. All I need is love. Well, CeeLo and the Muppets, they recognize that Christmas is not about the presents and the bling. It's really all about what? Love. All right, we're good. We're done. It's a fun, silly way to get at the core message, but the message is spot on. I'm quite sure the Muppets and CeeLo did not set out to make grand theological statements, but the song taps into the truth that what we do need is love, like those thinkers from Liverpool espoused so long ago as well. Today, as we celebrate together the second Sunday of our journey of Advent, God with us, we're celebrating love. When Jesus came into the world as a baby, he was the human embodiment of God's gift of love. When he came as Emmanuel, God with us, he came as God incarnate. He came as love incarnate, love in flesh and bones. And we talked about, you know, love songs, and there's all these different ones in culture, right, and throughout history. Think of all the creative energy that's gone into love poems and love songs and love stories, and you start with movies and all these other things. It seems like people through the ages have been inspired by the idea of love, and continues on. And this season we have something, and I know some people that we've talked about before, you know, we have Hallmark movies, right? I see some people smiling. I know Kathy's smiling. I don't want to embarrass her. Linda in the back. If you see some people are really smiling, Netflix also has some good ones too, but being a purist, the Hallmark movies. And if you're not into them, we'll talk after service. But these movies, they tap into the idea of love and Christmas. You throw in a Christmas tree farm, right? Or a toy store, or a broke down inn. You've got all the things. Some people know what I'm talking about. You have all the ingredients of a love story. But we also, in our scripture today, we have another example of a love story that we don't usually think of as a love story. Mary and Joseph's a real love story, though, right? You know, just because the traditions and the culture were different and all those things from long ago. But imagine if Mary and Joseph, a love story, was a Hallmark original movie. Imagine, we put, you know, back in the ancient days in Israel under Roman Empire, there's a small village of Nazareth. There's a carpenter, a simple carpenter named Joseph. He's noble ancestry. You know, he's from the king, distantly related to the king, which is pretty good. He lives humbly, like working as a tradesman. He probably learned to build things from his father, who was maybe a carpenter before him. And he grew up maybe in Bethlehem, but he moved to Nazareth. And we can think about maybe he wanted to start his own carpentry business there. Maybe he had relatives. Maybe the town needed a good carpenter, and he just went to Nazareth. We don't know exactly sure or why, but this made him probably a pretty eligible bachelor at the time, right? We don't think about that as Joseph kind of being quite the catch, right? Have you ever thought about that in the story? You'd be like, Joseph, quite the catch, you know? But he was. The younger girls of the village, or maybe their fathers, were like, this guy's, he's pretty, you know, self-employed. He's got his own stuff together. And we remember the Jewish marriage customs of the day were, they were a little bit different. There were three stages. There was the contract, and then the consummation, and then the celebration. And so there was kind of a, you know, there was maybe a cash prize or dowry. All these things were a little, you know, a little bit different from our perspective in terms of that. But, and when we think about it, we think, oh, how unromantic, but maybe not. If we use our imaginations, we can fill in some of the details. Maybe they were betrothed to be married, and each day the young couple learned more about each other. They spent time together. They figured out what made each other laugh. They handled challenges, and the strengths of their personalities shone through in the imperfections as they tried and failed, their hopes and fears and dreams of a life together, how many children they hoped to have one day, what kind of home Joseph would build for them, you know, how they longed for the day to come when they were fully married and fully connected. And each day, Mary and Joseph, they chose love, and love continued to grow deeper and deeper. And then, as all great love stories, there has to be a conflict. And what happens? The emotional bombshell where Mary comes to Joseph and says, I'm pregnant and it's God's baby. Can you imagine Joseph, after all this time, just broken? It sounds crazy, but an angel visited me and I'm going to have a baby and he's the Messiah. Joseph, you have to believe me. It's a miracle. It's true. Maybe he tried to listen to those first words, an angel, miracle, but he was too much for him. You know, this was all too much for Joseph. Maybe he walked away in silence, broken. He was speechless. Maybe he shouted and he angry and he stormed away. Things didn't go smoothly. And maybe this was part of Mary, why she went to go see Elizabeth for 3 months to kind of figure out what's going on. So the lovers parted with pain and anger. Do you see how this is a real story? I'm trying to do my best to make it, because it is. Mary was clinging desperately to the encouraging words of the angel, and deep in her soul, for whatever reason, how impossible, incredulous it sounded, how miraculous it, God's very son was sprung to life within her. Somehow God was going to make a way. Then you play the music. God's going to make a way. That's maybe, you know, the exact circumstances maybe in our lives are different. I assume so. If this is similar to your story, we'll talk to. Mary and Joseph's a true human love story, but it's more than that. It's emblematic. It's a taste of the bigger love story that involves every person who've ever walked the earth. It involves each of us as well. So let's dig deeper into this a little bit and see how we can experience this supernatural love of God, this idea of God with us in love in this Advent season. What we learn from this is that God's love is supernatural. If we're watching a movie about Mary and Joseph, this would be where they would pan back and it would go from the village, the Galilean village, wider, you know, envision with me in the ancient landscape and then the mountains and further, and then you get the earth and we're backing up all the way into the Milky Way swirling galaxy, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and a supernatural infinite presence that is love. There's only God somehow over and within all things and present and moving in all of time, including the entirety of human history. And this appears only as a tiny blip. The love we're talking about is supernatural. It's above what we know. Supernatural just means beyond the natural, even beyond the universe. And John and says it this way, God is love in 1 John 4:16. He says, so we have come to know and believe that the love of God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in them. This is the nature of our God, love in its purest form. Love was there at the center of God's creative forces, and it's present in this story as well. It's present in Adam and Eve, and it's present in Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And all the love is traced throughout all the scriptures, all the way up to Mary and Joseph's love story. Love is God with us. and love would be with Mary and Joseph and care for them as they needed. But this love, it wasn't natural. It was supernatural, unimaginable, unthinkable, incomprehensible. This is the fullness of love that we hear about in the songs, or the taste we get in the poems, or the movies that we watch. This is the taste of that we get, but this is the real thing. If you like philosophy and you like Plato, it's Plato's cave with the reflection on the cave. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. But it's the idea of that's just a taste. This is like the love that we see, the love that we experience is only a taste of the real, pure, real thing. Or if the band U2 is more your theological ilk, it's even better than the real thing. Supernatural love, it was love that has greater than logic, than reason, greater than circumstance. No earthly force could create it or sustain it. This is the love of God. This is the love that we talk about when we light this candle. It's the love that drives us through this Advent season. And we learn from the scriptures of the story, too, that not only is it supernatural love, but God's love is unconditional. Mary went to go see Elizabeth, and when she arrived, Elizabeth, as we see in Luke, was so excited to see her. She was like, "Blessed are you among women, and the child that you will bear." Can you imagine the relief for Mary as she goes to see her cousin, and she's feeling all these things, and Elizabeth said, "Yeah, I love you. Like, you're doing what you're supposed to do. You're being who you're supposed to be." It's unconditional in that respect. And so it's that's a reminder that God's love is like that. And unconditional love we experience in some ways, but there's the great example is the guy who goes to ask for a raise from his boss for his salary, and he told his wife he's going to do it that day. And he goes, and he's nervous, and he's apprehensive, and he goes to his boss, and he says, "You know, can I get a raise?" And, you know, this is how it always goes. "Yes, of course, you know, you're a valuable member of the thing." And so he gets to go home, and he goes home, and the table's set, right? It's a beautiful dinner, and it has a little note on the table, and it says, "You know, congratulations, I knew you'd get the raise. This dinner is to celebrate and tell you how much I love you." And he's all excited, and then he starts to go into the kitchen, and he sees another note that fell onto the ground that said, "Don't worry about not getting the raise. You deserve it anyway. This festive dinner is to show you how much I love you." Right? Is that's the example of unconditional love, that whether it went well or it didn't go well, that love is still there. But we also learn that God's love is a choice. In Joseph's case, his needs were a little different, and he heard these things, and he needed a dream that we talked about just to kind of to get on board with what's going on, because it was so big. But Joseph chose love and trust, even though the law told him he could do otherwise. And it's a beautiful reflection of God's own choice to love and foster a relationship with us. Even though our choices sometimes might mean we kind of move away from God, or in the love of God with us, this Emmanuel, God with us, is God's perfect love, and we celebrate that. And this is the love that knows exactly what we need no matter what we're facing in this season. Whether it's support or restoration or it's an encounter with the miraculous, God's love is with us. As mind-blowing as it is, God's love is eternal. It's never-ending. It's God, God's self. It's now and will be and will never stop being demonstrated to us in tangible ways that become the daily occurrences of our life. This is the love that God with us lived out looks like, and what we hold on to. But importantly, too, it's God's love flows through us. And that's what we carry into this Advent season, too. We hear all these things. We learn about all these things about wonderful God's love, but the idea is that it flows. This is the same love that flows through us and is the reason for all that we do. And with the knowledge, you know, that Jesus taught, "A new command I give you, love one another." And that's what we carry into our day-to-day life. Sometimes it takes small steps. Sometimes it takes bigger leaps. But through it all, we can trust and know that it's love that holds us. Because God is love. God is love with us. It's eternal. It's vast. It's powerful. Yet all the same time, gentle, tender, and personal love that we saw with Mary and Joseph. It's a love that will always make a way, no matter what we're facing or the season. One of my favorite poets is Pablo Neruda. I don't know if anybody likes. He's a Chilean poet who writes beautiful poetry. But in his 100 love sonnets, he says this: "I love you without knowing how or when or from where. I love you simply without problems or pride. I love you in this way because I do not know any other way of loving you but this, in which there is no I or you, so intimate that your hand upon my chest is my hand, so intimate that when I fall asleep, your eyes close." This is the kind of love that we're talking about. We don't understand where it comes from. We don't understand how it's possible. Love is the reason for the season. And we see that love, no matter what level, between Mary and Joseph. We're going to see it with parents to a newborn child. We see it in the grand scheme of God to the world. It's all born of the same love. And this Advent season, we seek to know this love and to share it with the world around us. Amen. Amen.